Hello, welcome to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love. Lana Love is not available with us at the moment, but she will be coming, I'm assured. Today we have the incredible Jonah Bolt of Starseed Radio and the Starseed Society. And we also have our special guest and host, Jill Jenkins, with us, who's been on the show in the past and a good friend of mine. And today we're going to be talking about global issues. We're going to be talking about spirituality and personal growth and all kinds of fun stuff and exciting topics related to financial issues, personal and global, and who knows what else we'll be talking about. We never know which way these things are going to go, but it's always lots of fun. Welcome to the show, Jonah and Jill.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on again.
Hi, Jill. Awesome. Thanks for coming here to talk with us today and have a little panel discussion. It's always great having you two on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Joe, maybe we'll just start with Jonah. Jonah, what are you, we've been talking, all three of us have actually been talking a little bit about this morning prior to the show about some of the things that have been happening in the world. That's always a good place to start, I guess, with Syria, and Jill mentioned something about dirty bombs being used in Syria, and we know there's been cluster bombs being used, and hospitals and schools have been had the air strikes again by who knows who's doing that, United States or Russia or Turkey. I don't know who's doing these things. And I've actually sent an invitation to Doctors Without Borders to have a speaker come on our show. I think it'll be great if they accept. It's a terrible thing. I'm very upset about the whole thing. But Jill mentioned Flint, Michigan, and I know you've done some work with people regarding the lack of drinking water and services, essential services in Detroit. So there's so much going on. Yeah, there's a lot going on. It's it can be disheartening, but that's why we're here, to sort of sort out some of these things for ourselves as individuals.
Absolutely. So, I think it's good that you talk about it and bring awareness to some of the issues and stuff that's going on, which is just more reason for us light workers and way showers to do more to get people activated and get people focused and dialed in, and try to bring in some of these new systems that we've all been working on and implementing those to help the old ones dissipate, because the old ones are coming down, as we see. We've been talking about this for years, you and I, and it's happening. So it's, you know, time to bring in the new systems or, you know, crumble with the old ones.
I think it's essential, don't you, Jill, that we... These systems,
that goes right into what we were talking about today, David, is, you know, we think about everybody saying, well, how do we fight this and how do we fight that? And really it isn't about fighting something, but rather really just working on ourselves and finding our happiness and finding things that bring us joy, and then building new systems that are heart-centered, that are surrounded in good things, that are under our control, that are under our manifestation. And just by doing that, it'll eventually inch out, and there just won't be room for these old ones anymore, as Jonah called them.
Absolutely, yeah. The old paradigm, the old establishment, the old order, whatever name you want to give them, the many names. just like there's many names for us, light workers, guardians, light warriors, whatever. Just names. And systems, and out with the old and in with the new, and I think that's important. As long as it's something better, more positive than what we've had before, because I think energy tends to get stale and it gets stuck, and it can kind of get to keep things fresh and keep the new ideas flowing and keep the energy vital. And so change, I think change is always good, isn't it? Positive change.
Well, change is happening all the time. The change happens, but how do we direct it? Yeah, it's up to us to decide and to make the choices and the decisions and to make the way for what that change is going to look like if we choose to.
So how do we, I just want to continue with you for a minute, Jill. How do we, with bombs dropping on you, seriously, are you... You're starving to death. How do we talk about this quite a bit, but how do we get around how do we stay happy? I mean, if we're healthier and if we're not healthy and we're in pain, suffering, and there's much of it in the world, refugee crises and everything else, and bombs dropping. I mean, how do you stay happy, you know?
And I mean, yeah, not being in that situation, it's impossible to really say, you know, I wouldn't want to pretend to sympathize with what that would feel like, not knowing and not being in it. But I think when we discussed this earlier, you know, maybe not in every moment can you be happy, but if there's people around you, if, you know, this is more in context of the fact that we waste so much energy of our lives, you know, just earning enough money to just pay for shelter and food. You know, so many people do, if that. And you're right, there's abject poverty that's well below that, where people are struggling to even do that. But those that can, you know, I mean, there are things that, you know, in some moments that you find, even if it's a tiny moment, that you find a moment of bliss. But more importantly, for the people that aren't in those situations, if there's lots of people, rather than them going to a job and slaving away and wasting their energy on something that isn't really an outlet or in their heart, if they were actually all able to follow their heart-centered creative outlet, then we would be creating a better environment around those people who are in pain and in crises for them to live and evolve in.
Okay, that's good. Let me just add something to that. I mean, all three of us here, and even Lana, none of us are in the 1%, and I don't even think we're in the, you know, we're not the elite, and we're not, we all work. I struggle with finances, Lana does, just like everyone else. We work hard. We have our creative passion. The radio show is part of this. It's part of our personal growth, and we enjoy, you know, talking to our guests and the people that we network with and things we create with. So that's one of our outlets, one of our ways of sort of feeling better about what we're, you know, about the amount of effort and work that we put into life. And Joan and I are both entrepreneurs, and I know you are too. And so we try to come up with solutions, positive solutions. One of them, of course, is Joan has been on the show, and we've talked about the alternative currencies and gold-backed exchange system, which we're working on as a way of bringing solutions to everyone, especially in the spiritual community, to fund projects like free energy generators and permaculture and self-sustainable living domes and that sort of thing. So, Jonah, do you want to add to that about what Jill just said and what we're doing and how we're, you know, trying to work this out for ourselves?
Yeah, I think the most important thing Jill
Jonah,
said
do
is...
Do we still have you with us? Okay.
Yeah, I'm here. I think was that you have to really go into your heart space, and that's one of the most important things you can do right now. What that means is, to me, is in your heart space is to be grounded and be aware of your thoughts and actions. But by being aware of what's happening around the world and in Syria, it's more motivation, you know, for me and others to really make change right now and not wait up, because there's crazy things happening right now all over the world. And war is breaking out even worse and worse, financial, you know, collapse. But I would say for really people and a lot of people that are listening to the show is to go into your own heart, into your own space, and don't always listen and follow like all these, you know, different projections and predictions that I've been hearing for a long time as well. And, you know, this one's saying this and David Wilcox saying this and disclosure's happening then and this is happening there. Like, since, you know, I've started my radio show 6 years ago, I haven't heard one prediction of anything come true in terms of disclosure or this or finances. So don't worry about when or what's going to happen, and don't, you know, follow and believe everything you hear, because I haven't seen too much of anything really develop on what people think is going to happen and when it's going to happen. The timelines are always changing. We're controlling the destiny. So go into your heart space is being grounded and not falling into that. You know, I've learned that myself the hard way, following people. Oh, this is going to happen, and disclosure is happening next month, and someone else told me today this is going to happen this weekend, financial collapse, and then now David Wilcox says disclosure is happening next year, and then this one's going to, you know, it's like no one knows. It's everyone's creating their own reality.
It's a bit of a ridiculous thought if you think about time being sort of a made-up concept, or, you know, not a real concept, but then we have these very strict concepts or timelines that we're trying to adhere to. It just kind of seems a little bit paradoxical.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think life is kind of a paradox. Everything is sort of a paradox. But I agree with you. And I know, Jill, you mentioned that someone talked about a global reset. Currency reset.
Well, and it's, I mean, to go back to what Jonah said, I mean, I've heard a lot of those things, and it's always interesting. I've heard a lot of new rumblings, and not necessarily timelines, but just people that I feel are very intuitive that are sensing things like that happening. But, you know, you take it with a grain of salt, because it's all just a flavor of what the now is, and that could change at any moment, because it is all very fluid, because there are so many different influences involved, and that's the beauty of it.
Yes, I agree with you 100%, Joe, and I think that's the most important thing, is we're living in the now, and there's evidence for all of these things, and we are living, there is a paradigm shift, I believe, there's a shift. Things are rapidly changing, and things are certainly seem to be escalating with global militarization. The economy does, there is evidence to show that it's collapsing, and there's evidence for Planet X Nibiru, and Lana's now here with us. Hello, Dr. Lana. Welcome
Hi.
To the show.
Hello, everyone. Hi, Jonah. Hi, Jill.
Hello, Dr. Lana.
So, I just want to say that, yes, while all of these things are happening, we are manifesting reality in the moment, in the present moment, right now. So these things can change, and I don't believe in future predictions or deadlines or doomsday prophecies, although there may be some reality to these things, and there may be signs to show that these things happening, but there's no guarantees. We can't, I just don't think we can, maybe we can guarantee death and taxes, but even then those things are questionable. So with eternal life,
I prefer not to guarantee taxes.
yeah, so, you know, taxes can be eliminated, and certainly there's eternal life and the eternal soul, so I don't know if there's any guarantees at all about anything.
Never say never.
Well, yes.
I guess I have quite a different view. I beg to differ with everybody. And while, you know, it's no one wants to be a doomsdayer, I guess I'm someone who's quite practical. And I know that Earth does go through lots of different shifts. And I know cultures go through different shifts. And while I think we can, in some ways, control our circumstances, in other ways, we can't. But what we can do is be informed, not panic. But we can evolve, and humanity has always been that humans are very good at evolving and adapting to their circumstances. So I'm a great believer in not panicking, but being aware of what's happening in the world and adapting to it.
Yeah, but I don't think anybody's disagreeing with you on that, because I would agree the Earth has gone through changes. It is going through changes, as it always is. And we've had ice ages. It's likely that we'll probably have more. The only thing I'd say about that is I don't know the date for any particular scenario. So I think it's okay to prepare. I think it's for any emergency. I think it's smart. And I think it's important to stay informed and aware. And I think that's what we're doing. And it's really good to exchange ideas. And it's okay to disagree on things, as long as we're doing it in an intelligent, respectful way, and try to work things out.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything that Lana said. I mean, I think that, you know, we do need to stay informed. We don't need to allow it to sink into our middle to where we're paralyzed with fear, because then we're not going to find our heart center in order to find that passion, that somebody's passion at some point is going to be what resolves this, because it's not going to be solved by these same guys that started the problem to begin
Good
with.
Point.
So somebody, some kid out there who just really sees these refugees and wants to help, you know, he may create a system that can bring clean water, or can, you know, to solve some of these issues. And that's what we're going to see happening. But it all does, you know, that's how it kind of does still tie into following that passion. And it's just so difficult, because so many of us are exhausted by the time we finish our drone slave labor jobs, you know, that we have so little creative energy left to give. It's such a dance.
That's very true. That is very true. And it's a shame that we all have to work so much. There's something very wrong with our society. So those of us that can be more creative with perhaps our workspace can find perhaps some time to go after our passion and look
into these things, but you're right. We are in so many ways enslaved to our jobs, and it's tiring, it's exhausting, it's hardly time for anything else.
That's so the challenge in this life is to sort of overcome that and see how we can make things better for ourselves and everyone, and that's, I guess that's why we're here right now. And, you know, we've got some great ideas, and we're here to exchange information and see what we can come up with. And, I guess Jill talked about being fulfilled, and that's the Buddhist concept, isn't it? That we sort of, what did you call it, Lana? The concept of how we're always discontent. And we need
that's called dukkha. Dukkha is an interesting concept. It covers not just sort of things that would traditionally be seen as negative, but things that would also be seen as positive but that pass. For example, someone dying or breaking up with someone or having a bill to pay is suffering.
Welcome back to Soul Love, Universal Soul Love. Sorry about that. We just had a little interruption. No problem.
Probably a solar flare.
Right. So you were talking about just non-attachment to the problem and more or less looking at the positive aspects of what you can do with any challenging or situation that you're facing.
That's right. I'm not sure how much of that you heard.
None of it. You should start over.
Okay. So the concept of non-attachment in Buddhism, there's an interesting sort of concept called dukkha. And dukkha is, I guess many people see dukkha as suffering, and suffering from things that seem negative, but it's actually more than that. So while, you know, all of us can understand the suffering that comes with loss or, you know, pain or having to pay a bill, quite often dukkha, suffering, can occur from good things that pass because everything is temporary. So you go on a holiday and you suffer because you have to come back home, or you go out and have a wonderful time, but then there's sadness when you come home. You see a beautiful sunset, but then there's a certain sadness because you know the sunset is temporary.
And that's our.
So it's the ebb and the flow.
Yeah.
Well, I guess in Buddhism, there's the recognition that everything is temporary and
right.
that suffering occurs because of attachment, because you don't want something to stop.
And it's really the attachment to your feelings about the situation outside of yourself.
Yeah, and it's funny, before you joined, Lana, David had said that. He was like, well, you know, things are going to change, and it's true. You know, I think I laughed and I said, well, change is going to happen whether we want it or not, but what do we want that change to look like, you know? So. It's definitely, change is always happening.
What everyone else is doing, or natural disaster times when we talked, and both of us have been feeling down, and, you know, we sort of take on the spiritual warrior mentality, which is just pushing your way through it, knowing that it's temporary, right? Jonah, are you still with us, or did we lose
yeah,
you?
I had a really bad connection.
Okay, well, Jill, do you want to? Oh, okay, no problem. Did you hear what I was saying?
No, can you repeat it, David?
Just we were talking in the past, you and I, about, you know, private conversation, just about private. You know, sometimes we're not always feeling so vital, and there's times when we're feeling up to par, and, you know, those are, we know from being awakened, we know ourselves, we're in touch with our feelings and our thoughts and emotions, and we know that it's temporary. But so you accept that, you know, at the moment I'm feeling a little down, but I'm going to get through it, right? I mean, how do you deal
with? Yeah, I agree. I'm hearing like every other word from you, David. I think what you said is how do I deal with the madness or what's happening around the world and
for our listeners. Yes, exactly.
Okay, now it's coming in.
Okay, sorry about that. Well, let's just keep going. Yep, that's exactly what I'm saying. And we're just talking about, you know, how do you deal with the madness of the world and the turmoil in your own personal life?
I think for one, people also have to realize what we're dealing with here, that there's pure darkness out there. There's pure, you know, energy feeding type of energies here, darkness. We're here to experience duality. We're experiencing the light and the dark. And I think first, a lot of people have to recognize how really dark it is. I think a lot of people don't really want to go down that road and look at the wars and pay attention to Syria and see that in Yemen and Syria, they're dropping nuclear weapons right now. And it's crazy what's happening. It's horrible. And for people not to look into that or even accept it is really not looking at how bad things really are right now and use that as a motivator to put out light and put out good to really get motivated, because things are escalating to get worse. So I don't want to be in the world that's crumbling. I want to help create the new one. So I think a lot of people need to just pay attention to the real darkness that's out here, you know, the real demonic forces that are here. Those energies are real. Angels are real. This isn't stuff people are making up. This is stuff everyone knew on the planet hundreds of years ago before it was erased from humanity. The ancient teachings, everyone knew we came from the stars. This is old information. This is nothing that's new to anybody that was here just a few hundred years ago, back a million years, you know. So this is information that is just being brought back out, but people really have to get it out right now and be vocal and really be activists of spreading truth so we can change the craziness that's happening right now, because it's getting really out of control. So I want to create the new world. Let's get vocal. Let's get motivated. Let's start implementing these systems. Get on the gold system that me and you have been talking about. Get on the different systems that are out there right now. Start experiencing these new ways to live and ways to barter and ways to communicate and live in communities with your neighbors. It's that time. It's right now. It's you know, the 11th hour, and it's not going to get any more intense than here and worse unless we start changing it. So
that's true, John. And I applaud you for saying that a lot of people do not want to look at how dark things are. And look, I have to admit, I'm probably one of them. I do get very upset about what's happening in Syria. It's hard to look at it. I'm an animal activist as well, and I force myself to look at the incredible trauma that animals go through in slaughterhouses. However, it's easy to somehow try to not think about these things because it's so depressing. But I think it's really important to do something about it. And I guess we can use the fact that there's so much darkness and the fact that there is so much violence and horror in the world, we can use that in a way to really increase our passion to change the world rather than getting depressed about it and losing faith in humanity. And I think that's what we have to do. And in some ways, that's quite alchemical, isn't it? That you use something which is negative and you change that into something positive. That's real alchemy.
Absolutely. And the Buka and the monks you're talking about, a lot of those monks have been being slaughtered by the Chinese government the last few years in Tibet. They're going in there, and you could really Buka meditate all you want, to be real, but things are happening right now. You need to take action. You can't, you know, you can't let just the bad darkness or the bad stuff be ignored. Oh, I don't want to talk about Fukushima because it's lowering my vibration. I've heard people say that. It's out of control, you know, for anyone spiritual. You think Jesus would say that or Buddha would say that? What, they don't want to hear about people being hurt or dying? They would want to take action. They'd want to help. They're not going to ignore it. So I think people are very complacent. They're very soft. And now is not the time to be like that. You have lots of brothers and sisters like us in the radio. We're all here to support each other. We're all in this together. If we don't co-create together, then who do we have? You know, but we need to get active in doing that. So I'm all about just getting the action right now, taking action, getting these new systems in place, because things are really not looking good. We're at a pinnacle right now. One of the worst times we're in Atlantis times right now, where Atlantis is about to destroy itself. That's basically where we're at. You know, we all know that. So let's get real and let's get motivated and start communicating and co-collaborating and stop focusing on everyone's individual projects. I'm Foster Gamble with Thrive. Okay, great. Let's all work together. I'm this one with this project. I'm this one, you know. And I talked to Foster. He's awesome. Him and Kimberly are great people. We're all passionate. We're all have our hearts into it. but we have to really start working together. I haven't seen that at all. I don't see New Earth Project working with Thrive, working with Bloom, working with, you know, Burning Man, working with – I mean, just, come on. Everyone has it. We have the formula. We just need to do it, and I think
that's what – Okay, well, that is brilliant. The question is, how do we do that? I mean, radio shows like this, we can exchange ideas, but how do we actually, in practice, co-connect and co-collaborate?
It had to be an Occupy-type movement. I think Occupy, if they had
Hello,
a plan. Yeah. I think, like, if there is an Occupy-type movement that had a plan on how to grow food and build a dome house out of bamboo and things like that and actually could give people the blueprints, there's many people that have these blueprints. I've seen them on many different websites. It's just getting that information out there. And, yes, it's by doing shows like this. This is the only thing we really can do. We don't have fighter jets. I don't have nuclear bombs. You know, all we can do is just voice our awareness and voice our opinion and try to get people motivated. And that's really it, because people are asleep right now. They need to be motivated. They need to be sort of, you know, helped along. They're totally fluoridated, chemtrailed out, GMO'd out, you know, you name it, vaccine out. We're under attack, air, food, and water. On every level, we're being poisoned, but we're not stopping. We're not going anywhere. We're here to bring light. We're made of light. We're made of atoms and protons. So we just have to motivate, resonate. The more of us that come together, the more of us that vibrate higher, the higher the vibration, the more we can co-create. We just have to motivate. We have to activate each other. We have to motivate, pick each other up when we're falling down. And I think that's what we're all doing in our own individual ways, is helping
yeah,
each other.
That's exactly. And every single day and every pure person we meet, there's an opportunity to plant a seed. And whether we even know we're doing it or not, sometimes we're doing it. You know, so even if the person, you know, you're talking to somebody, you just may say something in casual conversation and not even know it, just because of the kind of being you are, just because of the kind of what you came here to do and what your purpose is. Or you might know it, you know, but either way, we have many opportunities to create ripples that maybe the seed I plant today doesn't grow into a tree tomorrow, but it might in 6 weeks, you know, and I don't know, and I may not see it bear fruit, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't bear fruit. So, there are always little ways every day that we can make at least tiny influence, but if there's thousands and if not millions of us and if not billions of us doing that, what then will it cause, you know?
Mm,
little ripples become big tsunamis after a while.
I agree with you, yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, we're the ones we've been waiting for. We're the light healers, we're the light workers, we're the light warriors, we're the guardians.
Yeah, I mean, you know, years ago I would talk about chemtrails and people would be like, what? You know, and now it's like my mom, you know, and her neighbor are out kind of pointing them out and talking about them, and, you know, and they're, it's
same
just kind
thing.
Of interesting.
Mom
to
used
see
to deny them,
change.
And now they go inside when they spray. It's people are waking up. It's good.
Yeah. Activists, we're the ones that are out here doing it, and it's both.
Something very practical is actually change the use of money. I mean, money has been criticized by many, including Michael Tellinger, as being one of the great poisons of civilization, and because it allows exploitation. And Michael Tellinger, with his Ubuntu Party, talks about contributionism and actually using a money-less system, which I think is absolutely brilliant. And I know that, you know, there's so much sort of talk of shifting currencies and currencies collapsing now. Gold, of course, is the old standard, and I think that using gold as a new system would be a fantastic way to transition into a society where there's less potential for exploitation. Mm-hmm. And of course, Jonah, you know a lot about that, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely, and it goes a lot deeper, as you, Lana, and David know, and I'm sure Jill knows, metaphysically what we're going into with gold is bringing back the highest vibrational solid on the planet back to the people, which has been raped and pillaged from the Mayans to the conquistadors. They've been taking our gold for thousands of years now. Why are they taking the gold? It's not just the value, it's the metaphysical properties that gold brings, aligning your chakra, clearing your energy field, opening up your third eye, opening up your heart heart chakra. These metaphysical properties is what people understood thousands of years ago when the Mayans and Pharaohs had it and everyone else wore it and all the other tribes cherished it. It wasn't because they wore gold chains to look like Mr. Hip Hop, you know, Dr. Dre or Snoop Dogg. They wore them because they understood the high vibrational fields and properties that kept them in tune with Source, with God, that kept that vibration in tune with the universe. They used gold. They didn't wear it like that. So getting gold back into the people's hands is on at a much, much, much higher level. And the company that we're working with that is doing this right now, selling gold by the gram, is phenomenal. They have multidimensional nanotechnology in the gold. I mean, so think about that. Multidimensional technology, this type of organization and company that we're working with is working for the people. So when you hear talking like that, multidimensional, you know that's at a much higher level. It's not about money. It's not about gold. It's about the vibration. And that's really the metaphysical side of it, which I think is big, which a lot of people don't look into and don't understand. But that's a big part of it, I feel.
We can leave that. A link in terms of how to, you know, possibly invest in this company, because I think it would be a very smart move, because I think the currency is going to collapse. I think already, you know, China and Russia are not using American currency, and I think gold is probably going to become the new standard.
Right.
I think you're right, Lon, and I think it's inevitable that this would collapse because it's meant to and it needs to, and it's okay. But we should have something, an alternative system in place. And I think Jonah's got a good system, and I think we should be aware of this. I'm now invested in it. And yeah, I bought some silver coins recently myself, just hold on to, but I'm putting money into this $50 a month right now. And okay. Oh, and it sounds like we've got a guest calling in. Excellent. It's Eagle Heart. Okay. Put him on. I was thinking about him earlier, because I wanted to have him on the show as well. Hello.
Hello, everyone. How's everyone?
Uh-huh. Hello there. Welcome to Universal Soul Love.
Thank you.
One of our favorite past guests. Eagleheart.
Great conversation you guys are having. My God, that you guys are hitting right to the crux of the thing. But one thing I was sharing with some people is that everything that's going on right now, it's so external. Some people are completely overlooking that the whole purpose of the external is to get people to look back into the internal, which is the heart. They need to reflect what the peace that already resides within the heart, reflect it back out into the world so we can begin the process of shifting our current 3D world into another world that's already vibrating at a heart-centered level. But this external stuff, bad as it may look, it should get people to start triggering their heart center and begin to look inside, look at their hearts. What's going on? What can I do to help bring about this heart-centered reality that already exists? And it exists in our hearts. How can I get what's in my heart out? And the only thing that they can really do is, all they need to do is to go into their heart and be there, share with others how they're feeling, and others will begin to reflect what they're feeling as well, and the power that will create exponentially once you connect with other people. And we won't need to do anything other than just feel the peace that already is in our heart. And we'll begin to see the change that is already there. I've been shown this piece, but we need to get past this scary part, the rough road.
Yeah, it's so good that you called, and I was thinking of, I wanted to actually have you on the show, so this is turning into a great panel discussion with our team, and appreciate you doing that and saying what you said, because we were talking about a gold-backed currency and alternative currencies and money in general. This is all based on human behavior, so what you said is really important, and it's even important to contributionism, because none of these things can ever work, because they're all external ideas, and until we look within our hearts and we look internally at ourselves, we can't effectively use any kind of monetary system or barter system. It has to start with the heart, wouldn't you say so? Or I think that's what
exactly.
You're trying to say.
That's Yeah, well, whatever system is created needs deep to come from the heart, and when it comes from the heart, it's organic. It renews itself, just like all the systems that exist in this world. They're renewable. All the organic systems, all the natural systems, they renew themselves. So it's a constant flow of energy that comes in and goes out. Currently, humanity has created systems that is just about is about take, or spend. There's no feedback loop to renew that energy. So we start expending all this energy, and then we become depleted. So when we start tapping into our heart, we start learning the flow of energy, how it works, what systems can we first start looking at to renew, change, break up, and then rebuild again so they are organic. And we're seeing this. I mean, the whole thing that's going on in this world right now is due to this chaos that we're those that are more heart-centered than others are starting to bring light to the issues, and they're starting to break those old paradigms. They're starting to break them apart, and hence the chaos that we're experiencing. I know the world of war, unfortunately, being involved in Desert Shield, Desert Storm, it's not pretty. It's not pretty for the soldiers. It's not pretty for the ones experiencing the other end of it as well. A lot of those soldiers are there not because they want to, but because they're there to serve their fellow man and woman and to help them. Like they are a family, and they don't want their family to be hurt. But they are doing a job. They knew what they were getting into when they signed up. But no one wants to go to war. No one. It's a last resort.
Thank you, Eagleheart. You've focused on the importance of change from within as well. And I guess this brings us to what seems like perhaps a bit of a contradiction, but something that I think is actually very connected, and that is the fact that we need to change both within and without.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think meditating and finding peace inside yourself is very important, and I think that can have energetic repercussions throughout the world. However, I personally feel that you also have to do things outside of yourself, influence people, you know, be I guess a figure of change for the world. Some people perhaps have changed or do this more by creating energy inside themselves and meditating, and that may well have huge repercussions. Other people perhaps are only activists. I think by far the best thing is to do both. As they say, as within, so without.
Yes.
I think we have to do both.
Be the light warrior. Be both the activist and the healer, and be the beacon of light and make the physical changes necessary starting from within yourself, just as Eagleheart just said. Did Jonah and Jill, do either of you want to add something to that?
I think what Eagleheart said was about people and how they are is exactly right on. We all have been taught to consume everything around us. It's like why we even see like hoarders right now. There's even a TV show in America called Hoarders. It's crazy. It's like people just collect so much stuff, and we're programmed like that. People have to get organic, like you said. People have to get back to the heart. But to do that, you still have to be aware and not shun things out. If you keep ignoring the shadow, what happens? The shadow keeps growing. Next thing you know, you're looking in the corner because the shadow behind you is getting bigger. You can't do that either. You can't ignore what's happening. You have to be the Jedi. You have to be the master. You have to be aware of your surroundings. Be the Buddha, be the monk, but take action. It was the Buddha monk that stood in front of the tank in Tiananmen Square in China that stopped the tank, right? It wasn't him meditating up on a hill. No, that Buddha monk got down there and took action, stood in front of the tank and stopped it and changed that path of that country drastically forever. That's what we need to do right now. I'm not saying go stand in front of tanks in Syria, but at least stand up and do something. Open your mouths. That's all we really can do, is be vocal and support each other and take action. And that's what I think is the most important thing for right now.
I just want to quickly
I agree with you.
That's a good, great analogy with the darkness growing, and if you ignore it, and I think that, you know, we more or less with amongst us, we generally talk about these issues quite a bit. What's going on in Syria and everywhere in the world, all the pain and suffering, we talk about it a lot, and it upsets us. I believe we are the Christ consciousness, each one of us, as we awaken. It's not Christ coming to save us as a second coming. We are it. We are part of that higher consciousness. And so I don't know anyone that wouldn't, amongst us, that probably wouldn't say that we know that Jesus was a political and social activist. And he took action. He was crucified for it. The people in power, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, did not like Jesus because he was inciting people to rise up against the established order at that time. So here we are once again.
Yeah, and I would say anybody who's followed their heart and got on the heart journey knows it's not just going down a hallway of clouds covered in marshmallows, you know.
That's right. That's
right. Definitely not a feel-good journey all the time, but that's the true warrior in us, you know, and that's what we're here. And going back to what Jonah said, which was almost exactly what I was going to say, is that we are very marketed too, you know, and why? Because we've been conditioned to come from a place of lack. We've been convinced that we're not enough, that we need something more in order to be correct or to be enough, when we already are enough. We're already everything we always need inside of us. So if we're able to align with our heart center, you know, that makes us wealthy in a lot of ways, and it's kind of the analogy of, you know, if you're a car collector and you've got every new car in the book, you're a billionaire, you walk into a car dealer, how easy is it going to be for that guy to sell you a car? Not very easy, because you don't need one. And when you've got, you know, you go through that darkness and you go through your lightness and you really kind of get to know your inner self and find your heart space, you become wealthy in that way, and you're very difficult to market to. You're very difficult to sell the conditioning to. So I think that's why I always focus so heavily on the heart. But obviously, I mean, it is important to take action, but your heart is what's going to guide you to let you know what action to take. And I think, you know, that's why I always say that's the place to begin. But that's just it. It's just the very beginning.
And it's okay to
hurt. It's a good point that
certainly
when
is.
You follow your heart, actually follow the right action. Discernment and right action. People want to take action, but a lot of times they don't know how to take action or what kind of action. If you follow your heart, it'll give you the right action, the action that is appropriate and as much as needed, but not too much. So that's right action. And when you know you've gone a little too far, that's when discernment comes in. Discernment and judging may appear to be the same thing, but when you judge, judgment comes from a place of fear, a lack of love, and darkness. Discernment comes with it, with the wisdom from past experiences. And that's the difference.
You're right. Discernment is one of the most important principle skills that I've learned over the years.
Did we lose Dave again?
I think we lost David. Yeah, discernment, though, is one of my daily meditations. There he is, coming back. David, we're losing you. We can hardly hear you.
Yes, with logic and healing. Can you hear me now? Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, we hear you coming in and out.
Yeah.
Hello?
We hear you.
Oh, sorry about that. Okay, we'll skip right over that. Yeah, I was just saying that discernment is very important. It brings clarity of thought. You know, you're combining intuition and awareness with logic and analytical thinking and reasoning to have the best possible outcome, you know, clear thinking and with whatever situation you're managing or facing or trying to find solutions for. And you can't find good solutions unless we do what you've said and what we're all trying to do and what we're trying to do as a group effort here, collaborative effort.
Well, discernment is, do I go left or right, not I'm going to go right, so left is a dickhead, and I'm not going to talk to him again, you know. That's how it differs from judgment. I mean, it's just how do you decide what you're going to do, and if there's two or three or five or ten choices, your heart normally leads toward one of them. And it might be very subtle in the beginning, but the more you focus in on that feeling, the more you can kind of recognize what that is, the stronger it'll become, and the more you'll notice it, and the more obvious these choices will become.
Okay, we're almost out of time, and this is, I guess we're going to have to continue the conversation at another time, because it's a wonderful conversation to have about how to change and what to change. I guess what I wanted to say as a final note was that changing your inner values is fantastic. Not giving in to materialism, as you say, Jill, is fantastic. However, the influence of our society is great. I have children myself, and I have managed to influence their values to the extent that they're actually vegans and they're not wanting to kill any animals. However, they're still quite materialistic and quite wanting to buy all the time.
Well,
and
I know
in some
it.
Ways, unless we actually shift from our current cities and the current culture within it, it's unlikely that our young people are going to change that much. And that's why I think that we actually have to get as organised as the darkness and actually move from the cities, go off the grid. And we're planning to transition between Sydney and perhaps a more country town and start to look at growing your own food, perhaps using gold, maybe starting to use contributionism. One town where we may possibly live is already off the grid completely, or that is what they're planned to be.
Yep, it looks like we're already over our time. I just noticed this.
Okay.
So. Thank you, everyone, for being on the show. Jill and Jonah and Eagle Heart for calling in, and we will...
We must do this again.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, we'll see you next time on Universal Soul Love. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.